This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Al Michaels along with Ken Dryden. It should be a great night. I'm sure there are a lot of people in this building who do not know the difference between a blue line and a clothesline. It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter because what we have at hand, the rarest of sporting events.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, Ted Johnson's in the house alongside Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens. So right out the gates, Ted, we got to ask you the question we've been asking listeners, texters, everybody. No, we're not clapping.
We're booing Ted.
Ted Johnson. I will not stand for this.
Are you a Belichick? Watch out.
Ted Johnson, if you were in attendance tonight at TD Garden.
Yes.
We all know the controversy, the booing of the U.S. national anthem up in Montreal. What would you do when the Canadian national anthem was played?
Andy, you know what I'd do. You've already said what I'd do.
And yeah, I was hoping you would surprise me.
You're exactly 100% right in saying that I would not do anything. Yeah. I would just stay there and be quiet. That's how I'd do it. And, you know, you keep saying that this is sports aid. This is, for a lot of people, it's not. This is it goes beyond the sports. And that's where I'm all for sports hate. It's when it gets political. This, to me, is a political thing. Mm-hmm. The booing of the anthems feels political to me. And so for that, I'm out. I don't want to get involved in that. That's just
reasons,
not my thing.
For that reason.
I'm out. And then also it's, you know, I don't know. Like if I was there with my son, Charlie, you know, just the idea of, hey, do business being done to a certain point. And it depends what it is. But in this instance, I think I would refrain from booing because I just don't think that's setting the best example for your son or daughter.
Thank you very much, Ted. See, it's the young impressionable minds. I think your boy, a senior in high school, he's kind of set in his ways now.
No, Ted's son's in college.
He's a freshman in college, yep.
Is he?
Yeah. And I would ask, we went down this road of kids
But you never stop teaching your kids, no matter if they're 7 or if they're 20. It doesn't matter.
No, that
you're
is
still,
definitely
you're
true.
Still, 100%. You know, teaching them.
But Rich John from Quincy, who's brag going to the game and bringing his couple kids, so he's spending quite a bit of money to get into TD Garden tonight. That adds a layer. And he didn't say how old his kids were. But I would also, you said to a certain degree.
I don't think
degree,
the age matters.
At all?
At all with the kids.
Over 21?
No, you think.
Under
think,
three.
You think you had all the answers to the test at 21?
They're going to hear some words tonight.
No.
There's still a lot you can learn at 21. You don't have, you don't know everything at 21.
And then my other question to you is, you sort of said this like, there's a line, right?
Yeah.
And this is a political thing, so whatever.
This specifically booing of the other team's anthem feels political to me. That's why I would refrain from it.
Because, you know, I alluded to earlier, like, you know, your sister. Well, you can say things to your sister that if somebody else in school says, we're fighting.
Yeah.
Right? Them's fighting words kind of thing.
Sure.
This doesn't cross that line on country level, aren't you a patriot, Ted?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I love my country.
Former
I love my country.
Expatriate.
But it's not, I don't know
he's
if it's
red
about
Ted
that.
Over here.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Why do you think the Canadians were booing the American national anthem?
This is a very immature answer. I don't care.
Okay.
Wow.
They booed. All right. I saw was the booing, and I didn't like it.
It was, all right. Now, let me ask you, in all sincerity, where were you, or not physically, but where did you fall emotionally during the protest, kneeling, Kaepernick era, Devin McCourty, all them 2017?
In terms of, I feel like this could get me in trouble. I'm just having fun here today. Right. This was sports hate.
Well, you but they were protesting.
For a lot of people, it's not sports hate. For you, Andy, it might be, but there's a lot of people that don't see it as sports hate.
I feel like I am in Rocky. This is Russia versus U.S. This is...
That's a superpower. Canada's not really a superpower.
Yeah, somebody needs to tell them that. That they need us.
Let me finish my point. I was
Shut your hole and know your role, as Tavai said.
When I asked you the question... of why do you think people were yelling or booing during the national anthem?
The disrespect from Donald Trump.
Okay.
Yeah.
If that's okay, would you agree that's probably why?
Why didn't they take the high road?
Here's the thing. There's a lot of people that love their country but don't approve of the president.
Sure.
So there's some people that are in that camp, and so I think a lot of people that are in that camp don't see it as sports hate, or they still love their country, but they might not love their president at the moment.
Sure.
So,
but they didn't boo Donald Trump. They booed the national anthem.
Okay.
They booed the American flag.
They didn't
flag.
Have a chance to, like, what are you going to drive to Washington or Manhattan or Mar-a-Lago?
They boo what represents your freedom and your greatness, your country. That's what they booed.
This is so dangerous. Like, there's going to be people with oily torches and rags outside.
Should I go back to poli sci class or whatever?
Just got a text from Greg Hill. He will be in attendance in tonight's game. Team Nobu.
Oh.
There we go.
Nobu. Huh?
No. What he means is Nobu. No, like as in Nobu, the fancy sushi place.
Right.
There's a couple of them. Do we have one in Boston yet? Team Nobu?
I don't believe so.
It's really good.
There is a something. You can say it's taking the high road, but it's also, to me, it's kind of, you want to make the Canadians look bad. Is you don't react to their anthem. I think that's a better way to handle it.
I compared that earlier to the school principal who says violence is never the answer, and if he swings at you, you take the high road and don't swing back. I don't like that word.
Meanwhile, my face hurts.
Right. Meanwhile, I'm bleeding.
Yeah, meanwhile, I'm
never going to be able to eat again.
Yeah, meanwhile, I'm homeschooling because I just got expelled.
Right.
You know what the best way to handle a bully is?
Punch him in the mouth.
Nope. Turn around, walk away. Give them nothing.
No offense, but you're the biggest guy in the room most times.
They live off of that supply. They live off of the reaction. They want you to react. That's what they live for.
Because of an insecurity and something that's wrong with them, Ted.
When you don't react to it, it's like you basically, no pun intended, you trump them.
How many times did how tall are you?
I'm 6'4".
6 foot four, 200
with the afro.
6 foot four, 260 pound Ted Johnson. How many bullies did you have to deal with?
Growing up, I had a few.
Yeah.
I've had bullies in my life.
He had a bully of a head coach for quite a while.
Yeah.
Oh, I've had bullies.
Wow.
I've had that bullies. Was a Colorado.
That was not a Colorado.
That was not a Colorado. He was the opposite of a joke.
I've dealt with bullies my whole life.
So you're firmly in the just be quiet.
Yeah, be
just
quiet.
Watch the anthem, let it go.
Be indifferent to it.
And that would not change. Stiz admits he's a bit of a blower of the breeze. He kind of goes like a leaf bouncing across the yard. That if his friends started booing, he'd probably get caught up in a booing. You wouldn't.
No,
would you tell your friends not to boo?
You know what? I would never, but no. It depends on the scenario and the situation.
What if you and I went
If my son started booing, I'd tell my son to shut the hell up.
What about me, your co-host?
I'm not going to tell you, a grown man, what to do. Do what you want to do, Andy. I would maybe look down on it.
I'll never look at you the same way again.
Not sure I would. Yeah, just a wee bit of respect might be taken away, but I would not tell you what to do.
All right, let's mix in some more phone calls because the lines are loaded. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Brian in Quinton. What are your thoughts on the anthem controversy?
What other way to say to think about it? We're Boston. Of course you got to boo. They came at us. You treat me good, I'll treat you better. Treat me bad, I'll treat you worse. I mean, there's a reason A-Rod's, got his, butt dropped, WWF style by Veritek. You got Milbury in the stands beating someone with his own shoe. This is Boston.
All right, thanks for the call, Brian. I agree with him wholeheartedly.
But we have to set a better example because
since when?
If we make it violent today, what's our tomorrow going to look like?
Mm-hmm. No. 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 I agree with the caller. This is effing Boston, right?
Oh, so David Ortiz is going to get out there. Hey,
This is our effing city, now I'm going to boo you.
Yes, that was a terrible David Ortiz.
What are you talking about?
It was like Arnold meets David Ortiz or something.
It is Boston, and we have an edge, and that's why we all love covering sports in Boston and playing in Boston. But it's the uniform says USA. It doesn't say Bruins.
Hey, Wally.
No,
so
I know.
There's a little bit of difference there.
But where did USA start?
Right here in Boston.
In other countries. We are the product of every other country in the world. The
United States of America.
Oh, we came across Boston, Plymouth, whole area.
Because Plymouth Rock didn't land on us. Or how does that go?
It's actually a very
We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. Oh. I'm King Kong. He ain't got nothing on me.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's see Joe in Salisbury. What are your thoughts on the anthem?
The Quebecois do not speak for all of Canada, and I refuse to believe that Boston would stoop to the level of French separatists.
There you go.
All right, Joe.
Salisbury knows what's up.
Weak-ass Joe.
Wow.
Hey, sloppy Joe.
How fun is this? A week ago today, did any of us think that we would be talking about this game? Didn't know if the United States would be in this game, but who would have thought that this is where we'd be today?
I'll tell you exactly.
Like, it's crazy, right?
It's a lot of emotions that have been pent up. It's been a miserable winter because we're all inside and we're all sick.
Yeah.
And to be quite honest, even though the Super Bowl had the highest ratings for the Super Bowl, I think around here, because Patriots weren't good and there hasn't been something to like rile us up and get the vitriol pumping, like everyone's waiting for something to just be like,
I have feelings and I need to express them.
There might be some truth of that. I'm telling you, but it also, doesn't it tap into us, like our generation of the 19, again, I keep going back to the 1980 game. To me, it taps into that a little bit. When's the last time that you've had U.S. versus Canada where it's all NHL players, not college players, but NHL players playing against each other?
It's
2010. And how did that game go? That was a crazy, awesome fun.
Right, and this fuels that. That's where I love that. To me, this is a sports thing. This is I know you believe maybe it sways a little bit outside the world of sports into the political.
And that's what gets me. Just politics brings out the worst in people. So then, and it feels political to me.
Okay.
And that's why I don't want to touch it.
I can see that. Now, would you also, we had one texter, I don't know where it went, but said, what about a USA chant during the Canadian national anthem?
Even more disrespectful.
Oh, that's well, then USA.
Just USA. As, or should I say, just as.
I want to be as disrespectful as possible.
Listen to all of this trumped up, nationalistic, jingoistic nonsense. Oh, my goodness.
It is not nonsense.
Love it or leave it, man.
No, I think this is fun. I really do. I think this is, because I don't remember.
I think the game, everything other than the anthem is fun. Like I don't think the anthem is fun.
It
I just
adds
think
to it.
If you say so, I don't agree. I think the fighting is what it amps
and
up.
That adds to it.
Yeah,
there's
nothing political in Matthew Tkachuk picking a fight and Brady Tkachuk picking fights.
Oh, I don't know about that. Did you? Do we need to re-rack your buddy Keith Tkachuk? Talking about these boys and they love
proud
their country.
Americans.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that they are going after the Canadian players because the fans in Canada were booing the national anthem.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Go
I don't
USA boys.
Okay,
you hear that?
That has nothing.
I'm
to do
with Tkachuk. I'm with Tkachuk.
Oh, okay, man.
These are my people.
You know what? Maybe just a shirt that says like Tkachuk off or something like that in Canadian colors. There you go.
Tkachuk off, you Canucks.
There you go.
I'm telling you, 617-779.
What are the vendors going to look? What's the vending scene?
I'm going to tell you, the garbage bag vendors that are out there selling the homemade t-shirts tonight, they are going to be paying for
a lot of money. I would buy one.
Yeah?
I don't know if you've seen anything, but show me.
If anyone is down at the Garden right now and they're listening to our radio show and you see any like off-market, secondhand garbage bag t-shirts,
buy one and
take a photo or come
on.
Buy it, come here. We'll put you on the radio. We'll show it off. I'll get suspended for putting it on the
screen. There's a good shirt out there tonight being sold. You get me a double X, I'll pay you back.
And he's good for it.
A little then some, because I'd be curious. I bet there's going to be some good shirts tonight.
And he's good for it. If you need to request money, his Venmo is at I Hate Belichick.
Yeah, but what shirt do you want? Sit down and be respectful? Nah. Boo them, bitches.
Wow.
Did I say that?
You did. Twice.
I just did.
All right.
Joe in the car, what are your thoughts on the anthem?
Hey guys, how are you? Love the show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Listen, I want to put this argument to bed with a movie analogy.
There we go.
And if you haven't seen it, too bad, because it's 20 years old. The movie is Seven, all right? And it's What's in the Box. And at the very Oh, well, boy, I'm dating myself now. But, yeah, he's on his knees at the end, and he's begging for Brad Pitt to shoot him. And what does he do? He shoots him. Who wins? The bad guy wins. How do we win? We win by not only not booing their anthem,
right,
but cheering more loudly for their anthem than we do for ours. That's how we win. Passive, aggressive.
Joe? But how good did Brad Pitt feel in that moment?
One gunshot for a lifetime of torture?
He killed his wife.
I know.
I haven't seen it. Nah, it's 30 years old.
Andy, statute of limitations passed 25 years ago.
Also, not a horror movie.
It's an amazing, it's really one of the best movies made in the last 40 years.
And I'll add it to the long list of
movies. But he's right, though. He's right. By rising above it and or cheering their anthem, you know what they're going to do? Oh, man, now we feel bad about what we did.
I'm not going to feel bad for booing. Why would I feel bad for booing?
No, if we cheer, the Canadians will then feel bad.
No, I don't think they have
You don't think that they're capable of regret?
No.
Oh.
The Canadians. Don't they, like, they call the police if you hit somebody hard in their arena.
They have done that. Yeah.
But where's
these people?
Andy, where's the stop? Where's the stop? You boo them, and then what? And then they're going to boo, and then we got to boo, and then it just never stops.
It's a boo-off, an old-fashioned boo-off.
It just never stops, though. When does
Who
it ever end?
Last
All the booing just,
is best.
That's it.
And this, by the way, the other issue is it ends tonight. One way or the other, it ends tonight, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
No.
How?
When the war really begins.
No, it ends tonight. The tournament's over. We go home champions, and everybody goes back to their teams, and it's going to be mixtures of Canadians and Americans.
So the national anthem will never be sung in Canada ever again?
No, it will be, but it's a little different.
Nope.
Huh?
They'll be done. Never do it again.
Never do it again.
They're going to have to.
All right, I'll move on. I'll lose interest. Just being honest. Right now, I got my red, white, and blue on. America first, Andy. That kind of thing.
How about we go back to
who do you want?
How about John in Portland?
Let's go to John in Portland. Thoughts on booing the Canadian national anthem, John?
Well, I'm telling you right now, Andy, you are so wrong, man. It's all about sportsmanship. You got to respect your opponent. If you want to get nasty, wait till that puck drops, and then you can get nasty. That's what I'm saying.
Wait a minute,
there you go, man.
I don't actually play. I don't get to play. I don't. When the puck drops, I watch. So I this is the one time where I can impart my feelings on the game, right? Is the
boo? Wait, that's not true.
What?
You can boo when the Canadians score, if they win a fight. You can
boo for all
60-plus minutes of the game.
Oh, I'll boo then, too.
So
boo,
save it for
how
then.
How about when they take to the ice? Boo the team.
Why didn't they save
the
it for then?
Because they're below us in this moral ground.
Are they?
Well, they could be if you would just keep your mouth shut.
No,
but
Stiz and I know how it works.
Can't.
We're from the mean streets, baby.
Yep, until
turn your key now, sir.
Mean streets of Dartmouth.
Mean streets of Dartmouth.
Next thing you know, they're going to have ICBMs full of maple syrup headed our way to our major cities.
That's right.
I do find this interesting that it is really just a reflection of people's views of morality and like sportsmanship and the high road and the low road. And it's become more serious than I probably am taking it, quite honestly. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's, you know what it is? I think there's a lot. It's just there's a lot. A lot of hate out there. There's a lot of vitriol. We go to our Twitters, you know. It's just this hate. You know, it just feels gratuitous to boo their national
anthem. Okay, so Ted,
there's just so much of it going around. It's just enough.
I'm gonna utilize you as we do as the representative of former athletes. If you were, because we've talked about how Brady used to love going on the road and getting booed and like ruining the night for 80,000 people
in that building.
If you were in these games, Saturday night, you're the U.S. and you get booed during your anthem in Canada or your Canada tonight, and they boo your anthem. As a player, are you reacting to that? Is it resonating with
respect?
You?
Yeah, I would love it. Boo me, I love it.
Oh, maybe I don't want to boo then.
It's I'm with Tom on that. Buffalo, please. I could play in Buffalo every game and be happy with them booing. But that's sports hate. That's fun. It's not political.
This is sports hate too. In my mind, it's not. This is a good, in wrestling, a good heel, a good villain. That his whole point is to get the crowd to hate him.
Sure.
And the louder they hate him, the better he's doing his job.
It's
like this
very
is
different.
In that world.
Were you missing the political stuff? Why aren't you understanding the political part of this whole discussion?
But what is the what is your, do they actually believe Trump's going to take them as the 51st state? Do they actually believe that?
No.
I don't know about, no.
Are they actually worried about that?
No, but
they don't like the tariffs.
They don't like the 25%
tariffs. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't go through.
Right. Like, I mean, this is going to go back and forth. And guess what? I don't want to alarm them. In 3 years and 300 days, there'll be a different person there. A different Maybe. Man, a woman, a different. There will be. Relax back there, Stiz. Stay on my side for a minute. Don't go back to your normal views. Like, it's just, I don't get worked up in that. Like, I just don't. This is a hockey game between two countries that put on a great performance on Saturday night that changed the sports world for this period of time.
Right.
And now there's another installment of it.
Yeah.
That's how I look at this.
The good stuff that you're talking about came after the booing of the national anthem.
Yeah.
So all the good stuff that we're going to be watching for tonight, it was separate from what we're talking
about. Oh, no. I don't think you can separate them. It happened. I mean, you're talking minutes later. Matthew Tkachuk is fighting, correct? And Brady Tkachuk is fighting. Like, they are fighting.
Do you think they were fighting because they got the national anthem got booed?
Probably not.
Nope.
Yeah, but do I think it fueled them? Maybe got their adrenaline going even more? Maybe it resonated? Because I do think the Tkachuk family, based on what we've viewed from afar and what your buddy Keith said.
Go USA, boys.
Yeah.
Like, I think they are a proud American family.
Yeah.
Sort of a blue-collar, hockey, America, we love this. When we put the flag on, they fight for it.
From Medford, Melrose.
Like Stiz. They're a Stiz. So they're willing to fight for their country.
I went to Mon the Catholic. Went to my went to my high school.
So I don't think you can separate something that happened minutes before those guys threw down. I'm not saying they threw down because the Canadian fans booed the anthem. I'm not saying that.
Starts off as a nice performance of our American cousin, and next thing you know.
The people that follow you, that follow your Twitter, that follow you on social, do you have respect for them and their opinions?
Some of them.
Would you say?
I feel like I'm being set up, Your Honor.
Most of them?
Kind of leading the witness here, Ted.
I don't know the percentage of my followers that are aligned with me. I have a lot of troll followers.
Do you care what their opinions are?
No, I don't care what anybody's opinion is.
Okay.
That's how I've gotten into this world.
Fair enough.
That's where I come from.
I don't know why you do a Twitter poll then. What does your Twitter poll say?
For the show.
Oh, you're doing it for the show.
Yeah,
not
it's
for
to okay. get a measure of where the people are at. But my whole thing, for caring what people think, there is like a half dozen people on the planet I care what really think about me or really think.
Okay.
Like it's mom, wife, kids, like family members, like, why do I give a rat's ass what some guy on Twitter thinks? I don't even know who he is. He might not be a guy.
He might be a dog. Bot.
Could be a bot.
But you ask their opinion, they give it to you. And
for
now
this
you have
show. Because we talk to the masses, and that's our best way. So
Fair enough.
Get calls, we get texts, and we get votes in our polls.
Wait till it affects his bottom line.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Maybe.
Bottom line? 617-779-7937. We're rolling along. We're debating. Is it political? Is it sports hate? Do you boo the anthem? Do you be respectful? We'll keep taking your phone calls and your opinions. Up next, though, as he does every Thursday at 3:30, Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us. In case you missed it and got wrapped up in hockey, the football world is starting to take off a little bit. We got tag time, franchise tag, the combines around the corner, all that and much more with Tom E. Curran up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. The Four Nations Face-Off Championship game is tonight at 8 p.m. at TD Garden. It's Team USA versus Team Canada for the title, and coverage of the game begins at 8 p.m. right here on 93.7 WEEI. Team USA head coach Mike Sullivan said that everyone is available to play tonight for the team, with one exception being Bruins defenseman Charlie McAvoy. The Celtics return to action tonight on the road against the Philadelphia 76ers. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. One player on the injury report for the Seas, that is Xavier Tillman, who is out with a knee injury. In other NBA news, Front Office Sports reports that this year's NBA All-Star game was the second least watched in its history. Also, San Antonio Spurs All-Star Victor Wembanyama is expected to miss the remainder of the season with a blood clot in his right shoulder. And the NBA has suspended Milwaukee Bucks Bobby Portis for 25 games for violating the league's anti-drug policy. In Red Sox news, left-handed reliever Zach Penrod is awaiting MRI results after feeling elbow soreness earlier this week. Penrod pitched in 7 games last September with the big club and recorded a 2.25 ERA. The team is also signing 35-year-old veteran lefty Matt Moore to a minor league contract. Moore can opt out of the deal 5 days before opening day if Boston doesn't add it to its 40-man roster. And in NFL news, the Saints are expected to hire Doug Nussmeier as their new offensive coordinator. Nussmeier most recently worked as the quarterback's coach of the Philadelphia Eagles under new Saints head coach Kellen Moore. Celebrate your favorite presidents with money from findmassmoney.gov. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. Go to findmassmoney.gov today. It is a secure website and takes only 30 seconds to search your name. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Patriots insider for NBC Sports Boston, Tommy Curran, joins the afternoon crew, and that's next.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Welcome back to WEEI Afternoons. And callers, we see you lined up. We know that you want to tell us whether you want to boo or not boo or cheer or whatever you want to do. We will get to you in just a few minutes. But joining us now on the phone lines, as he does at 3:30 every Thursday, is Tom E. Curran. Tom E. Curran on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. And by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. Tom Curran, would you boo the anthem at the Garden tonight?
I would certainly not do such a thing.
Boo!
Thank you, sir.
Oh, a golf club.
Provided with a golf clap.
Okay.
Or maybe something a little more robust. Or maybe like Ted Johnson said, nothing at all.
Okay.
I mean, it's a like you have to look yourself in the eye 3 years down the road when this is passed and say, what did I do that night that I went to the Garden? Oh, I booed the anthem. I have people who are friends of mine who are Canadians, you might say to yourself down the road. Or I have shared history with this hat for our country, which Canada is. So to me, don't have a small moment in time where you can be petty and cheap and say, well, they did it, like you're on the playground. You just clap for it. The way that Bruins fans have before in that arena, as you guys know, I'm sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're a fan of Rush and Bare Naked Ladies, too, Tom, right? So you don't want to, you know.
100%.
A couple Canadian bands, yeah? Yeah.
Yeah, Martin Short, you know, Dana Carvey.
There you go.
There's a lot of good. Yes. You know, John Candy.
Boom.
You know,
Jim Carrey. Come John on. Candy? Eugene Levy.
Yep. Dan Aykroyd.
Boo.
You're going to boo John Candy. Okay, have fun.
Thank you.
Tom, so football-wise, yesterday we had some texters that were very interested in the Sione Takitaki release. And then reading Mike Reese, he seemed very interested in it, that this was some sort of maybe symbolic move that shows you Mike Vrabel's power, maybe even shows you where the defense is going. Can you explain to me, if you believe that to be true, what exactly that Takitaki release could indicate?
Well, I guess it would be a breadcrumb as opposed to a boulder, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Sione Takitaki. He's a 21-tackle guy, and I bet most people don't know what number he wore,
nope.
Right?
No
what
idea.
Number did he wear?
15. 15.
16.
Dang.
15? I thought it was 16.
You're probably he wore, right.
So nobody knows the answer.
You're probably
I'm
right.
Boo you guys.
Nikhil Harry on us. No wonder he's out of work right now. But to me, I think it's less of a muscle flex and more of an indication, and this is something that I've been saying and talking about this week, which we could certainly get into, is unless your last name is Gonzalez or May, perhaps Onwenu, Henry, Bentley, Duggar, everybody else is not nailed down and should be subject to a great audit of their value to the team, their role with the team going forward, the perception of the team's the perception of the level of buyout the player will have and his relevance. Nobody should be beyond it, and that includes some of the high-priced guys who they re-signed last year. And I think that they should really scrutinize that. And I brought that up relative to the running back position and Ramondre Stevenson this week.
Yes, and I think that's, Tom, a great point. I saw on NBC Sports Boston, you guys, I think you guys rated running back as a 4 out of 5, like a much sneakier need.
Yep.
Than mm-hmm. a lot of people anticipate.
And I agree with you 100% on that, Tom, by the way.
Yeah, I think the whole room kind of does as well. But I don't think the Ramondre Stevenson slander is fair because of how bad the line was last year. He didn't have his best year. But
2 years in a row.
Huh? All right, see that? Right.
Right.
Okay, we're up for debate on that. But, Tom, Mego did a really
Let's put it this way, though, Fitzy.
Okay,
just
hit
for
me.
The hell of it.
Yep.
So in 2023, he was outplayed significantly by Ezekiel Elliott. At the end of the year, they rewarded him with a contract, and he was outplayed by Antonio Gibson. Not only did he get that contract, and playing behind a horrendous offensive line, we should acknowledge that. He fumbled the ball 7 times for a bad team. You can't put the ball on the ground and make your situation worse. the first thing you have to be able to do is not lose games when you're a bad team and then worry about winning them. He was actively helping them to lose games. I think he's a good player. He has a couple of runs. I think we'll all agree every game we go, damn, thank God they got him. And then there'll be a play, and you're like, my God. And then you'll see Antonio Gibson or Ezekiel Elliott come in over the past 2 years and say, these guys are fine. You're talking about the fifth highest the fifth most valuable contract at the running back position in the league belongs to him. He's the ninth highest paid in terms of per year salary, of total value of the contract. So I'm not saying he stinks. I'm not saying to cut him. I'm just saying when we talk about what Vrabel and Ryan Cowden and Elliot Wolf, for as long as he sticks around, should do, they should evaluate very harshly every position and say, are we getting what we should be out of this?
Interesting, Tom. And you got the, you kind of mentioned just the three power brokers that make up kind of the power structure there with the Patriots. You know, that being Vrabel, Ryan Cowden, and Elliot Wolf. And you saw a picture of them all together at the Senior Bowl. And I don't know, Tom. I just, you know, you got the combine a week from today where it starts. Have you heard anything? I mean, is that power structure pretty much still intact as it was in the Senior Bowl? Those are the three main faces that we're probably going to see being, promoted out there at the combine starting next week.
Yes, I definitely think so, Ted. And I think that there's very much, you know, from Mike Vrabel's comment to me the day that he was announced, and he said, "Look, I think that there was a lot of demands on." Basically, in essence, he was saying demands on the time of Elliot Wolf because of the newness all across the franchise that he wasn't able to devote enough time to personnel. So they're giving him a mulligan.
Tommy.
They really are. What I feel like. I'm sorry. It's pregnant pause. Yeah. I really feel like they're giving him a mulligan, Drew. but he should be on notice and watch. He really should. I mean, it was an embarrassingly bad year last year. I know it wasn't a great free agent class. And yeah, you got Drake May. But you could have been innovative and traded down, and you didn't do that. Yes, you hit on Drake May, and you were horrendous on the other draft picks. I mean, bad. I mean, outright embarrassing. So what's the reputation that precedes him that allows him to get free reign to continue to butcher the roster? I don't know.
Tom, how much do you believe, and we know they're interconnected, free agency and then the draft. So you spend some money here, then you draft different there. But I've heard you, for example, throw out with Jones and Keefe, I think it was 2 years, $64 million for Devontae Adams, fully guaranteed. If you do that, okay, now you got your number one wide receiver. That probably pushes you a certain way on draft day. How much do you think those two are directly related? Like, we're going to know the draft more because they got Adams or they got Kupp or they got Ronnie Stanley. How tightly connected are those?
That's a great question. And the $32 million a year guaranteed was more of a hypothetical. Kind of revised that when I was on TV last night. I said, you know, give him 60 guaranteed. Give him 60 over 2 years, 50 of it guaranteed.
Okay.
Pretty good deal.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, but it does answer for 2025, who would be at the top of the food chain for your wide receivers. It would give the ability for a player like Jalen Polk to show a pulse in 2025 and give him the opportunity to develop perhaps a little bit. And then you're not on the hook forever to another number one, but you probably need more than one receiver anyway.
Oh yeah.
But it would at least answer the top of it, because you can't be taking in the second round, in my estimation, you're not going to take him at four. You're not going to take Ted McMillan, and you're probably not going to take Travis Hunter because he's a better corner than he is a wideout. So I would address it in free agency, and I would do what I can and overspend there on a Devontae Adams type, Andy, as opposed to a Keenan Allen type. And I would still trade for a Cooper Kupp if I could. But, you know, if you're going to do it, just do it and go get Devontae Adams as opposed to, well, maybe Keenan Allen could still do it, or maybe we could wait on Chris Godwin, who might get re-signed by Tampa anyway. But that would be my stance. And it would definitely free you up on draft day to say we have somebody at the top of that depth chart.
Yeah. we're speaking to Tommy Curran from NBC Sports Boston here on WEI Afternoons. And, Tom, yesterday Mego posted a great piece on WEI.com about the wide receiver position, speaking to a bunch of positional coaches, athletic trainers, some that have worked with Patriots receivers, some from the outside of the organization. And obviously some of them have to pump their clients' tires. I understand that, but there still is some belief that guys in the room can be salvaged. They also believe the Patriots need to get back to drafting and developing guys that are, quote, their type, you know, who we really haven't seen around here very much. And then yesterday there was also Steve Smith audio on a podcast saying Jalen Polk got done dirty last year, and he's a big believer he'll have a bounce back this year. How do you feel about that?
I love Steve Smith. He's a Rodney Harrison of the offensive side of the ball, one of those guys you would pay, even if you're in the media, to watch play. I don't understand how he was done dirty. He could not figure out how to get to the place he was supposed to be at the appointed time at the appointed depth. That's not being done dirty. They could not run their offense in totality because the wide receiver room was so screwed up. And that extends to the very likable and enjoyable Kendrick Bourne, who continues to get befuddled. I mean, the number of alignment and procedural penalties that the skill position players drew on this team and have drawn over the last couple of years, that includes Hunter Henry. He's probably one of their five best players. You look at it and say, my God, where is the quality control? So nobody was done dirty
in
this organization, player-wise. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
I couldn't agree more, Tom. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. But the
well,
Patriot,
you know me.
We do.
I'm trying to figure out how, you know, there's a lot of pressure on the Patriots to spend money. They have by far the most cap dollars to spend this offseason, yet we all know that most of the high-end free agents probably won't even hit the open market. You know, and I feel like this is really where the front office is really got to do excellent work, is identifying that middle kind of class of player, kind of like maybe what the Washington Commanders did last year. Like, they got 10 free agents that were starters for them on their team last year. And I feel like there's diamond in the roughs, names that we don't know about that the front office should know and identify and maybe, you know, bring in here. Do you see them spending a lot of money on that middle class, or do you see them spending more or time and attention on just getting a few of the bigger names, if you will, in free agency?
Probably a mix of both, Ted. Honestly, they have so much cap room. You're not going to be able to spend all of it given the contracts, even if you have, you know, even if you're going to have a $25 or $30 million cap hit, $25 million, say, cap hit for Devontae Adams. If you do that, you still have $100 million to spend with your 2025 cap. So I'd say both ends. The guy I use, and it might be dated for our younger listeners, would be Mike Vrabel is looking for Mike Vrabels. Guys,
yes,
who are,
yes,
on teams who are buried behind the LaVon Kirklands,
yep,
and Joey Porters of 2025, who can really contribute someplace. They want to find Zach Bonds. They want to find them everywhere, and they need to go and find those players. What will be interesting to me, Ted, is what links that we can find to Mike Vrabel will the players have that they start to look at in just a few weeks in free agency? Which guys from Tennessee, which guys from Cleveland, where he just was this past year? So if we can scrutinize those, Jack Conklin, for instance, he's a lineman with the Browns. He could be a cap casualty. Boom. Could he be a player that could come here in New England and perform here? That would be a for instance for this team that I look at. But they have so much work to do in terms of filling out the roster, and there's so many holes because I'm doing tight ends today in my little roster overview. I had running backs at a 4, quarterbacks are at a 1 in terms of need.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, tight end, I look at it as still as around a 3. It's not a non-need just because you had Austin Hooper and you have Hunter Henry. If that's a key component of your offense, which it probably will be with Josh McDaniels, let's think about trying to get a tight end in here, fellas.
Love it. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
I like that
Tom,
Gunnar Helm kid.
Tom, love it. Love it. And next week when we talk to you, we'll be in a full combine mode. We'll be talking about 300 prospects for the Patriots to pour over. Look forward to it, and enjoy your golf clap tonight during the national anthem of the game. Appreciate it.
Thank you, boys. Enjoy the rest of it. Love the show. Take care.
See you, buddy.
Thank you, Tommy.
That was NBC Sports Boston's Tommy Curran. He's brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, as well as by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. Up next on WEEI Afternoons, we'll react a little bit to what Tom said, and we'll get back to your phone calls because we know you care. Boo, clap, sit quietly. There's plenty of options tonight. Tell us what you're going to do when the anthem plays for Canada at TD Garden. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Basically, in essence, he was saying demands on the time of Elliott Wolf because of the newness all across the franchise that he wasn't able to devote enough time to personnel. So they're giving him a mulligan. But he should be on notice and watch. He really should. I mean, it was an embarrassingly bad year last year. I know it wasn't a great free agent class. And yeah, you got Drake May, but you could have been innovative and traded down. And you didn't do that. And yes, you hit on Drake May. And you were horrendous on the other draft picks. I mean, bad. I mean, outright embarrassing.
That was Tom Curran. Just moments ago here on WEEI.
Very harsh. Probably won't be watching the game tonight at Elliott Wolf's house.
But I would go back to my phrase, the truth is never mean.
You got it.
There was no lies there. That was all truth.
There was definitely no lies.
And you add that in conjunction with Mike Reese's read on the talkie-talkie release.
Yep.
And that was an Elliott Wolf signing. And Elliott Wolf was in Cleveland when talkie-talkie. So that was more than just a Wolf signing. It was like a Wolf guy.
Yeah.
Like, I know this guy.
Yeah.
I was in. Yeah, I'll bring him in. He's my guy.
Yes.
Now he gone.
Yes.
So there is some tea leaves that can be read there. Like Mike Vrabel's like, that might have been your guy. He stinks and we don't need him.
You know, think about it. Let's, you go a step even further. You think of who else were Elliott guys that were in the building last year? There was a lot. AVP.
All of them.
All the whole offense.
The whole offense.
And that tells you right there that Gerard wasn't ready to be head coach because he didn't hire any of his guys. Well, he doesn't have his guys.
He doesn't have guys.
We don't need to go back and relitigate that. But it's Elliott's, a lot of what had the stamp of Elliott Wolf in the building last year, gone.
Right.
Gone. Exterminated. Gone. Those coaches and one player. And I don't know what other player besides talkie-talkie was connected to
Brissett, Elliott maybe Wolf. Like any Cleveland.
That's a good call. Maybe Jacoby, mm-hmm. Right?
But he's a free agent already, and you have Joe Milton, and you probably
how much longer do they have Joe Milton for? According to a lot of the buzzy action on the Twitters,
yeah, I would love to see. I mean, if you can trade him for a day two pick, consider it. I just don't see anybody dumb enough.
But what if someone gives you a third? Like,
who's dumb enough to do that?
No Giants. What if they put him behind Tyrod Taylor and Brian Daboll?
Not dumb enough to do that.
You know, real quick, I'm interested in your thoughts on the quarterback. What type of quarterback do they need to bring in, do you think?
The Patriots?
Yeah.
A cheap veteran.
The Damon Hewer, John Freese type.
Right. So that like another Jacoby Brissett.
Cheaper.
But a cheaper.
I'll take Heave-Ho. I'll take Flacco.
Someone that just it will
cheaper.
To mentor the young kid.
Be the adult in the room. That thing we always say.
Yep.
But you're really not planning on playing him. You're trying to develop Milton.
I get it.
Milton is the chip you're developing as a 2-year backup and then trade chip to get. Dream of a second round pick or something.
And you know what's great? Wild. There's times when the depth chart of the quarterback position for the Patriots, it didn't necessarily make sense to me, you know, where it's like you have one pocket passer, then the backup is an athletic freak, you mm-hmm. know, that can't throw from the pocket. And now I like that Drake May, I'm not saying Joe Milton and Drake May are perfectly exactly alike from an athletic standpoint. My guess is you run similar type offenses for both of those guys.
Absolutely.
And that's the way it always should be, right?
No, I think you know who would be good is like a Brian Hoyer, a guy that's at the end. You can pay him $3 million bucks.
He's our guy. No, we're gonna get.
No, I know.
Yeah,
but
you're right. That profile.
He's probably been on 8 or 10 teams, so he knows all offenses. He knows all defenses. He knows all kinds of coaching. He can just be the mentor for those guys. He can lead them in practice. That's who you're looking for. I haven't really run down the list of free agents or who that guy would be.
Yeah,
you're looking for a guy,
profile that guy
who's like 1 year away from being a coach. He's got like one more year in him as a player, one more paycheck as a player. That's who I would say.
I'd like a little bit more of a veteran presence in that locker room.
Yeah, absolutely.
In that meeting room.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not looking to just draft a quarterback and have 2 second-year guys and a rookie.
But you think Josh would probably say to his QB coach, to Vrabel, hey, we do need a veteran voice in here. Who's like a Josh guy? Obviously. You want to say Jimmy or Hoyer, they're not coming out of retirement or here, period.
No. I don't know. I can't really think of one that would be available in the timeline or I don't know. I don't know. But there's got to be somebody out there. And I don't know that it has to be a Josh guy. It has to be more of a respected guy. Maybe it's a Vrabel guy. Maybe it's somebody who Vrabel has come across in either Tennessee or Cleveland last year. Mm-hmm. You know, they had 5 guys. Somebody, just a guy that's been around the league and has a little veteran experience, knowledge, leadership, can be a sounding board for May. Because May's still young. There's still going to be times where he probably is going to want to sit down and say, hey, Bill, whoever the guy may be, you know, what should I say here? What should I do here? This guy did this. How do I handle this? How do I handle that? I think you still want that. WEEI Afternoons up next. We will get back to your phone calls on the game tonight at TD Garden. We're going to touch on the Charlie McAvoy situation, which I think needs to be upgraded from situation to something more. Possible litigation?
Are we at a debacle
Defcon,
right now?
It's
teetering on debacle.
It's a bit of a debacle. It's a medical debacle. It's bad for the team. It's bad for USA Hockey. Yeah, it's bad for the doctor from the Minnesota Wild. It's bad for everybody.
And it's really not that big of a surprise either, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, Ted Johnson will tell you why it's not that big of a surprise that Charlie McAvoy got hurt and has an infection and was in the hospital. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.